your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
On with KER Politics, we're going to talk a little bit. We're recording this on Friday, late afternoon. We're going to talk about what happened down in San Francisco Thursday night when Paul Pelosi was attacked in his home by an assailant, an intruder with a hammer. The only comment I can make about that, by the way, and I thought about that this morning, is, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. Do you have any comment?
No, absolutely not. No one should be threatened in America because of their beliefs or their policies. You know, Right. Just that's unacceptable. We can't accept that. It's interesting, though. There's some very interesting information that's coming out just here in the last hour or two. Apparently, this guy entered Pelosi's house through potentially a broken window. That's the initial estimates. And when the cops got there, he was actually in a standoff with Paul Pelosi, where both of them were standing there with hammers. And apparently he grabbed the hammer from Paul Pelosi with the cops there and began to beat him. So that's actually kind of strange.
Yeah, it's really strange.
Apparently he lives in Berkeley. His wife is a nudist activist. That he's put a lot of different things out on social media.
Yeah.
So, you know, mental stability, you know, a lot of questions here. Bottom line is, no one in America should be threatened because of their political beliefs.
Of course not.
And no one should be. And I think that this is the very disturbing part of it to me. Here's the Speaker of the House. He's third in line to the presidency in this nation. And she didn't have security enough to actually keep somebody out from going through a broken window in their house in downtown San Francisco.
Yeah.
And this is directly reflective to the crime policies that the Democrats have allowed to just, you know, explode crime around the country right now.
Well, I think it's a fairly good point. I want to talk about the rapidly increasing crime rate in the country later on, or maybe we could do it in this section. But first, I want to talk about a column that a woman by the name of Lynn O'Donnell wrote for a publication called Foreign Policy. She reported that Afghanistan's elite National Army Commando Corps, who were abandoned, interestingly enough, by our country and other Western allies of ours when the country fell to the Taliban last year. The members of this particular special force have been contacted by Russia to join the Russian military to fight against the Ukraine. That seems kind of interesting to me. Jimmy, what do you know about that?
Well, okay, so I worked with the Afghan commandos and, you know, with the overall, what they call the National Special Operations Command in the region under Resolute Support, the RS mission in Afghanistan. And it had taken many, many years to build a capacity with, you know, 20 to 30,000 Afghans and the credibility, the capabilities, the training for them to be able to counterterrorism actions on a professional level and still maintain their loyalty. And what happened when the Biden regime basically completely undermined the Ghani government and withdrew and actually favored the Taliban, these people were left hanging. Now, these people had worked together, been trained together with Americans for now nearly two decades, some of them for at least, you know, 10 or 15 years. And they were very skilled individuals. And they did it. They were doing a very good job. They were actually working effectively to counter both terrorists and the Taliban, but they were working together with U.S. Policies, principles, U.S. air support, a lot of other things that gave them the confidence. Once they lost that and it was pulled out from under them, then they've got nothing to do but hide right now. So I don't know how accurate this report is, but it would make perfect sense. The Russians have, you know, a border with them. They would be looking for people that would go under contract and help them fight. They're very desperate for soldiers right now. And the unfortunate reality is there's a good possibility that some of these people that were trained by the U.S. Will be fighting against, you know, with the Russians in Ukraine.
Afghans, Yeah, no, not against the Afghans.
Against the Ukrainians.
The Ukrainians, right.
And again, this is one more time where we've made a tremendous mistake in supporting somebody and then pulling the rug out of them in the last minute, which is exactly what happened in the late 70s when the Russians finally I'm sorry, in the late 80s, when the Russians finally withdrew from Afghanistan, we stopped supporting and doing anything to help the Afghan government that existed, that remained there after we'd be supporting them for so many years to actually fight the Soviets.
You know, Jimmy, I was thinking about this article last night because I did a little bit of research on it and found out that the Russians are also in the process of recruiting members of penal institutions, in other words, prisoners, to join the army. I find that to be really interesting, and I can't fathom that Russia doesn't have a large enough population to fill its army with conscripts.
Well, I mean, what happened was they announced this mobilization, where they wanted to raise 300,000 troops. And they were getting, you know, former soldiers, people that had done their conscript time before, and officers, maybe retirees. Hundreds of thousands of Russians left the country.
Yeah.
Went to the Baltic states, went to the Republic of Georgia. They left because they did not want to be a part of this, which shows a very big concern underneath the facade of the media and
right.
the spin in Russia. And of course, to people here that support in the West that support the Russian actions, there's a real problem with the Russians logistically, with you know, policy-wise, with what their intent is, command and control, and they've had a lot of losses, and they're very concerned about actually having, you know, success there. If they don't have success, Putin's in a very difficult political situation, so they're desperate, and that's the reality that we're seeing right now.
Oh, I can't believe that somebody in Putin's organization can't come up with a way for Russia to get out of that particular conflict and save face at the same time. I find that to be really interesting, Jim. The research that I did on this particular article yesterday was interesting in the sense that I guess I answered my own question when I read that Russian men within the conscript age group were not allowed to leave the country, and the airlines were contacted, the ticket offices were contacted by the government and saying, you can't, without permission from the government, sell these people tickets to leave the country. That's just, it just verifies your point, Jim.
Well, yeah, and I saw the lines. I have people and friends that still in those bordering areas right now.
Yeah.
There was a mass exodus, and some of them, you know, had nowhere to go, and they're moving into different areas. Again, like in the Republic of Georgia, that, you know, miles and miles of people waiting at the borders to come across on foot, and a lot of people moving out. So yeah, it's a problem. It's a very serious problem for the Russians, politically and militarily. They don't have the support that they need in order to be successful.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It'd be interesting to see whether this whole thing comes out. I made a comment yesterday in our editorial that I think it's going to be resolved probably by the end of this year. And I
think we're done with time now.
I'm sorry?
We're done with time.
Be right back, you guys.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.